Today's podcast is brought to you in part by Powerful Creators Mentoring. Are you ready to manifest rapid growth in your business or your sales career? Head over to powerfulcreators.net/mentoring. And when you're checking out, remember to enter in promo code MENTOR96 to get 96% off your first mentoring session. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Naked Warrior Recovery. I have been on a personal health journey to improve myself, and after stumbling across Naked Warrior's Happy Berry energy drink with all the good vitamins and electrolytes to give you a great balance and mental clarity without the junk and jitters like other brands give you, I personally can't get enough of Naked Warrior's energy drink powder, and it actually tastes like Happy Berries. Click the link in the bio and type promo code JBOLTON at checkout for 20% off.
Welcome to the Josh Bolton Show, where we dive into interesting and inspiring conversations. And now, your host, Josh Bolton.
Not too bad.
Hold on 2 seconds.
It's all good.
There we go. Cool. What's going on?
Not much. In yourself?
Not too shabby. Whereabouts are you based?
Like Southern California area. How about you?
Nice. Yeah, Tampa, Florida.
Nice. Yeah, we got a couple thousand miles between us.
Exactly. Tell me, how did we connect?
I think it was Matchmaker. Matchmaker gotcha. Or okay, cool. Podcast Virtuoso, a virtual assistant one.
Yeah, be Matchmaker. Yeah, gotcha.
You have so many, we're like, where did I get you from?
Oh, yeah, well, we are getting booked on over 100 podcasts this month alone. So, I got a whole lot of stuff going on. So it's, I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, okay, who am I talking to? Who's your audience? It helps me understand. And then we can make it happen.
Cool. And you're like you say you're the social engineering for like sales and all that?
Yep, correct.
The way you hesitate, I'm like, wait, did I just say it wrong?
No. Yeah, you're right. No, so I was just closing a window. But no, to help people improve their sales conversations, sales conversions by using behavioral intelligence. So personality types, personality profiling, giving them a feedback loop for the conversations they have. So we can actually tell them like if the person you're talking to, you even have influence over, just by analyzing the call recordings or the emails and things like that. A whole lot of cool stuff.
Oh, that's cool. It's funny because I'm trying to get as many shows as I can too. And I had two earlier and that was one of them. They were talking to me and I'm like, man, if you just asked me this like 4 hours later after my call at 11, I could give you the answer. Because they're like, oh, you're such a nice, like you almost seem like you're like a friend. I'm like, yeah, that's nice. But at times you don't get sales with this personality.
Yeah, so. Well, it comes down to the type of questions you're asking, and a lot of people don't realize that the way they're selling is actually old school, which is actually creating resistance, and that resistance is making the sale harder. So, yeah, so there's a whole lot of cool new stuff we're doing.
Well, how about I'm kind of liking where this is going. How about we give a quick intro of who you are, what you do, and we pick up where we left off.
Yeah, no worries.
Take it away. Where are you from, Ben?
All right. So, yeah, Ben Brestington from Behavior Sales, and I help people improve their sales conversations and sales conversions. And the whole goal is to help people 5X their sales conversions by giving them a framework in which they can communicate with people so people persuade themselves rather than you having high pressure, creating sales resistance, and helping people understand personality types through behavioral intelligence to connect with people faster and easier than ever before. So it's like, imagine if you had Google Analytics that gave you insights for your sales conversations. That's what we're talking about.
All right. Awesome. That's really good. So the one thing I wanted to ask you is more selfishly, and this will help just everyone in general. I'm trying to sell like a package, like a 1 or 2 hour call, mm-hmm. like $1,000 to $2,000. for my time and teach entrepreneurs, business owners, even managers, if they want, how to treat their employees with like an empathetic leadership, whereas what can I do for you instead of what can you do for me? How would I pitch to someone that may or may be more resistant, believing their way is the right way?
Yeah, well, one of the things you need to understand is your sole job. So one of the things, let's step back, hold on a little bit, we'll step back. So what you need to understand is the model in which you're trying to sell would be client-side selling, right? Or that consultative type sales model, right? That was created in the late 2000s, and consumer behavior to that has slightly changed. So your sole goal in what you're doing, and the reason you're getting the objections you're getting, is literally because you've got a conversational problem at the start, not the end. So your sole goal as a salesperson is actually to do problem finding and problem identification. So you need me to be communicating my problems to you. And the reason you're doing that is I have to understand the problem and persuade myself that there is a real problem. And most of the time that if you're asking logical-based questions, you're not having an emotional connection. So therefore, I don't emotionally feel that I need to solve the problem you're solving, and therefore there's no value, right? So it's all then it becomes a pricing debate rather than an ROI debate. If there is an ROI conversation you're having because you're talking about solving the core problem, not the surface-level problem, your pricing objections disintegrate, literally disintegrate, because like you've now identified the problem. So it would come down to how you're actually connecting with the person, then how you're bringing what we classify as situation awareness. Like, how are you having me become aware of my current situation, right? And then how are you having me go into the next layer, which is that problem awareness, and like really defining the problems to go through. And then you literally only have to pitch 5% of the call. The problem is if we looked at some of your recordings, you're probably pitching too soon, too early. You're justifying, hey, empathy-based sales do this, facts, figures, features, benefits. They don't give a shit. They don't really care. Right, so the thing is if you're actually presenting incorrectly, you're creating resistance at the get-go, and you're just resistance, 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 and they're like closing off. Does that make sense?
Yes. 100%. No, I noticed that.
So
I'll keep going.
Yeah, no, sorry. Go ahead.
So it was just for me, when I used to teach martial arts, and I would sell it too, and I did actually pretty good, but that was the biggest one. I just more chat with them, see where they're at, and then be like, hey, it actually sounds like I'm not a good fit for you, but I know someone down the way, and we still got business because of that. It was just one of those. But like for me, like the pitch, it's more like right now I'm like strategizing, planning. Because when I worked a security gig a couple years ago, this big like CEO pretty much making $50K a month pretty much approached me and said, like, this warehouse is tanking. This is like what got me to where I'm at. Why is my baby dying? Kind of thing. And I just told him, like, well, morale doesn't exist here. You're treating them like robots. They're humans. Like, it's shitty to say, but a W-2 worker, $100 is game changing. Have you thought about like making a game? If no one gets hurt, top five winners get $100 each. And that went, and they did it. Yeah. Quick summary of this all. They did it, and they 3x in 3 months. Yeah. And it was just one of those, 100%. It didn't cost him at worst, like $10,000 total of prizes and taco guy food. And he went from making like $300K a day to $1,200,000 a day. So it was just one of those. He actually just handed me a $10,000 check. And I was like, close my W-2 worker. I'm like, ooh, taxes are going to suck here. You can have it back. Now I'm sitting here going, damn it.
So one of the things you want to be aware of is, so one of the tools we created literally can analyze your email inbox, your Slack, your Teams, whatever the communication channels a company is using. And we can actually show you exactly the 17 different emotions that people are experiencing, who's happy with who's frustrated with who's expressed disgust with someone. Because if they express disgust, it's actually a very problematic emotion in the sense that it causes positive action in a negative way. So it forces them to leave, forces them to stifle your growth if they don't want to leave. It could force them to do malicious insider type stuff, right? So it's like, if you want to create a real company culture, how do you leverage not surveys and asking questions, but actually analyze like how are we communicating with each other, and what is that emotional impact, and how is that not effective? Even identifying the different personality styles of your entire workplace just by reading emails, just by analyzing the Slack communication, for example, which kind of brings a whole new opportunity, because you can actually see where there's management misfit, because the manager doesn't understand the personality types on how to communicate to the people on their team, right? That awareness can transform a company quite quickly. So there's huge opportunity in that space too.
So is it, you were mentioning, do you have like a software that can read all this and figure it out too that you're selling?
Yeah. So that's the behavioral sales, behavioral intelligence platform. So yeah, so it's a software as a service subscription that people subscribe to, and then they implement in their company. And through that, they can apply it to their company culture dynamics. They can apply it to understanding the relationship between their salespeople and their clients and customers. Like, we can do things like predicting churn. We can predict which of your employees are going to be leaving. And right now, 16% of any workforce is literally looking for new work, which is a huge problem for any company. That's 1 in 6 people, mm-hmm. right? So that's a very expensive problem that companies need to be solving right now, and that they're getting killed by, particularly if you've got a remote workforce. And then obviously we help, we do really focus a lot on the sales conversations and optimizing sales conversations to help people shorten the sales cycle. And a lot of the time we find that people are asking the wrong questions. They're not using the questions that elicit the emotion from their prospects, and they're just getting into the pitch way too early. Like, they're forcing that sale, and as a result, it's problematic and it's longer, and they're having issues, and that's where we really help them, if that makes sense.
So you've mentioned a few times, can you give an example of the emotional questions to prime them for that last 5% of the pitch? What would be some questions we'd need to ask like that?
Yeah. So, okay, well, let's start at the top of the sale, right? So at the top of the sale, one of the questions is, just because someone didn't, so you never want to assume the sale. Assuming the data actually shows now that assuming the sale actually creates sales resistance. So the person, when you get on the phone, you actually want to be more neutral and more to the side of skeptical, right? Because you want to be having them sell you why I should even work with you. So you want to be qualifying more, which is a different perspective for a lot of sales reps. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that mental shift alone at the start can make a big difference. So one of the things you can say, so here's a script if people want to write this down, is like, have you found what you're looking for, Josh, or are you still looking? Like, even my uncertainty in my tonality, and that gets you to talk to me about, well, what you're looking for, how you're looking for. And then obviously you want to ask them the questions of like, so Josh, what are you doing now? How long have you been doing that? And then you probe a little bit deeper with that, and you go, well, what got you involved with that? Why did you choose that model, right? So you're trying to extract from them their rationale, their decision-making process, why they're doing. Like, if you just ask those type of questions there, you've connected with them at a core emotional level. And now you're asking emotional questions to help them define that. One of the things you want to be thinking about, for example, is always asking them, why is that important to you? So, Josh, why though did you choose that solution?
Well, it right? just seemed the most cost effective and efficient at the time.
Was there another reason you're looking for that, or a problem you're trying to solve?
My sales team was doing this, and they claimed they needed software, and this was the best they claimed in the industry.
Yeah. So now you're understanding why they were choosing that decision, and you've gone actually two layers deeper, and they're starting to analyze and look at their real pain. They're starting to persuade themselves why they're looking at it. So one of the things you can there add, and doing this a little bit out of order, but you really want them to define that problem. So for example, you could say, Why do you feel like that was the best software or choice you could have chose at the time?
Because my senior manager recommended it and said it was the best.
Gotcha. So now you know that there's a senior manager involved who's actually the influencer or maybe the decision maker.
Okay.
So the thing is you may not realize you're actually selling the wrong person, talking to the wrong person. So you've actually got to get in and talk to the other person and find out what the real problems are and how that logic happens, right? So you want to be thinking then of the one big thing that a lot of salespeople don't do is they don't ask what we classify as consequence questions. Yeah. So something like that would be along the lines of, hey, Josh, have you thought about what would happen if you don't do anything about this?
No. No, I haven't even thought about that.
So if you don't solve this problem and the situation got worse, like what would that mean for you?
No, I would be losing a lot of money and probably a lot of workers too.
So do you see, even like if you use those style of questions right now and when you're talking to those people, your conversation takes on a whole new deeper level. It takes on an emotional level. And then you're using the emotion. They're using the emotion. Or sorry, you're using the emotion to persuade them using their own words. Does that make sense?
Right. So it's like the instead of the pitch, more ask the question than ask the question on the question kind of thing.
100%. Yeah. So it's asking the right question. And we've actually got a process where we've actually got about 240 different questions in the process funnel that you can use and rotate through. But there's 5 to 7 stages you actually flow through in the call, and even to how you're pitching, and even to the point of how you qualify them at the end, and even getting them to commit to taking action. So for example, like you present your solution, you don't pitch it, you kind of present it once you've got to the pain, but that you do it right at the end, right at the end. And you're like, well, Josh, do you feel like this could be the answer for you?
Yeah.
So, and the most important question you need to ask to them after that is literally going, why do you feel that?
Ooh, now that is a good question.
So just asking that question, though, you understand that now you are telling yourself why this is the solution and why you need to take action.
Interesting. I like it. This is like,
all right,
super hyper focused. Good stuff, man. Thank you.
One of the big things, if anyone who's got a got an objection, one of the things you really need to be aware of with that is you want to be clarifying, discussing, and then diffusing. A lot of people, they'll get an objection, they dive into it, and they just like they're trying to feature and benefit products, speak their way out of the objection. And what they haven't done is addressed the core objection, which we spoke about earlier. But so I think that type of stuff could dramatically help you in your conversations and the people in your audience as well.
Yeah, I would say that's a lot of good nuggets right there. Anyone listening in, definitely listen to this, what Ben just said. So what is also then, this just applies to all sales, whether it's like a $200 a month package or a $10,000 consultation call kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of people literally, they even if it's a $200 package or a $200,000 package or a $200 million package, it really doesn't matter, because this is like the anti-sales, anti-persuasion process, because you're not using any pressure. There's no pressure. You're having a conversation. And what people really need to understand is like sales is really a conversation, but most people are ignorant to how to have this conversation. Because this is not boiler room, high pressure sales stuff, which is where a lot of sales training kind of came from, like high pressure, high anxiety, force them in against their will. And that's not what the science says on how to persuade people, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Like I forgot I have a mentor call every Thursday, and he's like, the presentable pain, drag them to hell, then sell them the ladder out of hell.
And I'm like, that's kind of brutal. you literally took it to a dark place and you're like, the only way out now is to pay me. And I'm like, there's a lot of objections that can come up from that.
Yeah.
So
there is. And the problem is if you're leaving them sitting in that pain for too long without selling them the vacation, you actually can have them shut down. And that you can have the opposite effect of what you're trying to do. So, drag them to hell is one way. But the thing is most people struggle with the transition out, and the prospect actually gets stuck in hell. And then when you call them again, they're going to ghost you because all you do is leave them in a negative emotional state. And we can actually tell that from your sales call. Like, did the call finish happy or did the call finish negative? And if the call finished negative, you've got now this negative emotion that's festering. That's going to cause them to ghost you, not want to work with you, avoid you because you don't make me feel good. And what do people do when something doesn't make them feel good?
We clench up. Elsewhere. Yeah, we clench up or go away.
100%.
That's interesting. So then... like we've been touching on it through this whole thing. So like, let's say our call is going really well and I kind of awkwardly fumble at the end. It wasn't like a bad or a negative note. How would that transition, that work in the sales process, like an awkward fumble at the end, or would it still convert?
Awkward fumbles are okay. So it's, and you got to be more aware of the tonality and the skepticalness of it. So an awkward fumble is okay. The thing is you've got to be able to own your questions and your script. So you may have fumbled because you're actually going from authenticity back to script. Okay. And so the fumble was in the transition, right? Rather than like, hey, if I'm just authentically engaged and interested in you the whole time, asking you questions, my pitch is at the end and it's only 5% of the call because I'm like just walking you through the fundamentals, if that makes sense. So we find that a lot of people struggle in the position of transitioning from their authentic or rapport, authenticity into that like script following. And when they're in that mode, they're failing to actually connect with the person they're talking to. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. So I'm just thinking, this is one that keeps coming up in my head. Instead of an actual cold call or like an actual phone call, would like a video pitch, same feel, but you're more asking the question, pausing, let them think, then ask the question, like a webinar kind of thing. Would that work too for this?
Yeah, you can certainly do that. Yeah. Yeah. You can work that through and you can ask them the deeper questions and you go, well, hey, some of the people we're talking to have this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem, and they've had this. So you tell them the stories for the problems that you're eliciting, right? So you can still work through the same flow. And you're still driving that all home and you've just been having them ask themselves those better quality questions, which is engaging more emotion.
Okay, cool. That's good. So then I'm more curious because you've brought it up a few times is the personality type. So are we talking like the DISC or the Myers-Briggs personality type or the more generic like introvert, extrovert personality type?
Yeah, great question. So one of the things that we did is we used the DISC and Myers-Briggs, but we actually simplified it. So we call it actually bird behavior because most people have done a DISC assessment or they've done a Myers-Briggs assessment, and then they don't know how to use it. They don't know how to apply it to a conversation. Like, so for example, you've done one of these assessments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your personality type?
Myers-Briggs is INTP and DISC is ACD. So
yeah, so
I don't really.
Other how than do you IMTP, apply CD to your conversations?
I don't know. So yeah,
see, they're great for self-awareness, right? But the problem is a lot of people don't know how to transition that into practical. Like, how do I use this information? So that's why we simplified it in what we call bird behaviors. There's four bird profiles. So all you need to remember, you don't have to worry about all the other crap because we'll show you exactly how to use it in conversations and connect it to your conversational scripts and give you the words to say. And then it's easier to identify. It's easier to identify people. So for example, do you know what I am?
You are definitely more analytical, very extroverted, but yeah, that's about all I got right now.
All right. So you can tell me what I am when I teach you the four birds. Okay.
Okay.
And then you can actually start to see. So I'll run you through this process. So first of all, we have what I call, this one's called Vegas. The name is Vegas. but it's the bird is a peacock, right? And okay. The thing about the peacock is they want to be famous. These are the social media influencers. They hate being bored because they're always like, I'm bored. And they're looking for usually outside stimulus to make them fun and excited, right? They're looking for achievement, recognition. This person is the person who will cut you off to tell their story about a story that's similar to your story, right? They are the social butterfly, and they're always doing that type of stuff. Do you know many peacocks?
A lot. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Exactly, right? And particularly in California, I'm sure you're aware of a lot of peacocks out there, right? Everyone wants to be famous,
mm-hmm.
right? The next one is what I call the pigeon or the dove, depending on how you resonate with it. But the pigeon is, if you think of a pigeon in a park, right, they're a pack animal. They want to be everybody's friend. They're very flighty. Like they will, like the slightest noise, the slightest disturbance, like they will scatter, right? And the thing is that the pigeon, when you're talking to them online, on a sales call, is very flighty as well. Like one objection, one bad emotion, like one bad review online has them like, oh, I can't do this, because they hate rejection. They hate taking risks. So as soon as you present your conversation in the way for that's a high risk, it's a very, very problematic for them, right? You may not perceive it as a high risk, but high risk is any real change for them, right?
Interesting.
Okay. What's interesting is the pigeon is someone that you never want to take to the Cheesecake Factory, because you take them to the Cheesecake Factory and there's 500 items on that menu, right? Like I can't make that decision. They've changed their mind 20 times what they want to eat, right? But every time the plate walks by them or what's that they're eating or what you're eating, like it changes, right? It's hard for them to make a decision. Like they're the type of person when the waiter comes to the table, right? They're going to be asked last because like they're going to change their mind 10 more times before the waiter even gets them. You know people like that?
Oh, yes. They're just as common as the peacocks.
Exactly. So the next one is I call Liberty the Eagle. And Liberty is like freedom and power, right? So the thing is the eagle wants to be the boss. They want to be in control. They care about achievement. They care about the task. They want to know, Josh, what do I got to do right now and how do I make it happen, right? What are the three things I got to do and how do I get it done by 5 o'clock today, right? What's the ROI in this, right? That's what they want to talk about. They don't care about anything else and they're not very people focused. They're okay. They're happy pissing you off, right? And they're like, why did I piss you off? I just got the job done. Like what's wrong with you, right? They don't understand that people interaction and that not everyone is like seeing the world as that eagle from like a mile away who can see the mouse and then like lock in and get it, right?
Right.
So that's the eagle. They hate losing, right? And then the next one is what I call the thinker, which is the owl, right? And the owl is the person who would rather be right than rich, right? They want to prove everybody wrong. They've got multiple degrees after their name, multiple letters. The certificates, the achievements are a big deal for them. They hate uncertainty. They hate impulsiveness. Like when they say they're going to think about it, they're going to think about it. They're going to read every manual, every white paper, right? So you got to be aware of this when you're talking to this person and trying to sell this person, because you're like, hey, Josh, do you read the white paper I emailed over to you or that was on our site about these features and how it's connected to the workflow functionality? And they'll be like, oh, no, I missed it. I really need to read that. You're like, oh, well, and like, so you need to use that research and white paper and that type of validated conversation and language in how you're communicating with them. Because if you don't, they aren't going to get the answers. They need to know how all this stuff works. They want to know the details, where the peacock doesn't care about the details. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
So what are the four birds?
Peacock, pigeon, eagle, and owl.
Look at that. You're already someone who's mastering personality types, right? Like, and you already can picture each of these people and start to identify them. And it doesn't have to be any complicated than that, right?
Right. So to answer your question earlier, you're an eagle. Right. Or am I wrong still?
Eagle, peacock is, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're 100% right. See, isn't that easier? Like no personality assessment, no fancy stuff. You're like, all right, great. How do I connect with these people now? Because I know who I am. I know what they are. Therefore, you can be more effective in your communication.
So just talking on the combination then, because like listening to it, I was not a peacock or a pigeon. I was more predominantly eagle, but with a little bit of the owl. How would you sell to that kind of a personality?
Oh, well, that's a great point, because there's usually a prominent, so there's a primary and a secondary personality type, and it all depends on the context, because you might be eagle in certain circumstances, but maybe on financial decisions, you are owl, or maybe when you're with family members, you're different, right? So you got to be aware of context is really, really important with this.
Okay.
So the thing is, if you've got the eagle L, you've got to be aware of the results and ROI, but I've got to give you the time for you to make the decision, or I've got to be asking you those questions where I'm qualifying you, for example, for you to actually see the value and understand the logic with that and the emotion with you. So for example, I might be asking you, Josh, what is most important to you now though? Right, as the qualifying question. And I'd be going, so why is that important to you now?
Right. Interesting. So I'm just saying interesting out loud. That's one of those, a lot of people have asked me that. I've just one of those, I've noticed the question, but I've never picked up on why. That's interesting. Thank you.
Yeah. So one of the things you can factor in, like even how you can qualify people is like, so Josh, like, how important is this really for you to solve this problem, right? And the thing is I'm getting you to tell me how important it is. And you're telling me, so is this something that's even a quarter two problem you want to solve, or is this something like Q4 or next year? Well, maybe Q2, maybe Q3, but I guess it would depend if it's this budget connection. All right, great. Like, now you can start to understand and analyze that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it's the budget problem, not the actual results. They want it. They're not sure if they have the money. That's good.
And one of the things with budget, when you're always talking about budget, it means that you haven't connected enough pain or realization, because if they see that they have a problem and you haven't identified the true problem that's most important to them, because if you identify the true problem, they will find the budget. They will work out how to get the budget, where the budget's going to come from. They'll reallocate the budget. So it means pricing is usually connected to haven't defined the problem well enough or got them engaged with the problem sufficiently enough.
Okay. Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed. Like when I was selling martial arts, it was one of those, the packages were pretty big, like $300 a month and like $1,000 or $2,000 to $2,000 for stuff. And once I did the proper pitch, I kind of realized now, like as I'm listening to you, I did a very similar, I would see, okay, who's a pigeon, who's a peacock, et cetera, and pitch to them that way. And dirt broke, but somehow they managed to scrap together $5,000. And I'm like, how did you do that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, that's one of the questions is like, well, so you could go to them. So Josh, why do you feel as though this could work if you had the money?
Oh, that's a good one. Just to add on to it is I feel the value added and the incentives you're bringing to me are very important.
Right. And then so you could tell like, my tone was like skepticism, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, so are you open to me giving a suggestion, Josh?
Sure. What do you recommend?
So what I did there is I asked for permission. I'm not here to pitch it. Oh, I just want to give you a possible suggestion. All right. So the thing is I'm not like, because I'm helping you persuade you, right? So the thing is you can go to them and it's like, so Josh, what other avenues do you have for funding, maybe?
Oh, we have a lot of investors outside, and the board is very active. So we have multiple streams of income.
Yeah, no, well, the thing is you could say, well, like, they'd be like, well, have you thought of putting it on a credit card and paying it 30 days later? Or are you interested in more of a payment plan to help you? Like, this is where you can give them suggestions.
Interesting.
If they've given you permission to find the funding. Because what you're asking them to do is starting to think of how else could they get the funding to solve this. And it might be like, well, Is this problem more important than the problem you're solving right now? Because this problem is connected to three other factors. So therefore, shouldn't you be putting the budget to that? So reallocating budget type thing. So pricing becomes very interesting. And if you have defined the problem correct enough, they will always, always find the budget.
Right. That's very true. I'm just curious, how long do I got you for?
Probably about another 15 minutes.
Cool. Just wanted to make sure I didn't want to run over and get you in trouble for our interview. So then for the budget one, let's say I'm somehow managed to get the interest of Coca-Cola, one of the Fortune 500s, pitching him on the whole thing. Is it a similar process, or because they're more of a bigger dance that is a longer play?
No, it's the exact same process. And this is where people make the mistakes, because you have to do emotional sale with everyone. And one of the things you need to be aware of there is you've probably got to do this emotional dance with, say, six and a half people on average. So you may have to do this emotional dance with six people or 30 people because of how the conversations flow. And you need to be aware of the personality style with every single one of those people you're talking to. And this is where like the behavioral sales platform comes into its own, because like we can take your call recordings or your emails between all your parties that you're talking to and understand who has influence over who, right? Because it's a daisy chain. It's like, because Sally's got influence over Jim, but Jim doesn't influence Sally, and Jim's got nothing to do with this other department, so they don't care about him. So it's understanding those social dynamics and how do you lean on them to actually make this work for you? So it's the exact same dance, but with all of them. And where a lot of people go wrong is like, oh, it's Coca-Cola. It's going to be a different presentation. It's all people. It's all emotion. If there's no problem, there's no emotion, there ain't no sale.
Very true. So, okay, I'm personally curious. And a lot of people are probably thinking the same thing. What is your general pricing for your software?
The pricing for the behavioral insights element literally starts at a $20 a month subscription. And then it goes up from there if we're doing the sales analysis or if we're doing our coaching program. So we've got a 90-day, 5 extra conversions coaching program. That program starts at $7,000 and it goes from there. But we're literally coaching and consulting you on every conversation you're having. We're giving you real-time feedback on exactly what you're doing, what you need to be doing, optimizing your sales scripts and helping you work through, like, hold on, you said that, but the tonality was wrong. You said this, you should review that, and teaching you our, what we call the behavior sales framework for having sales conversations using data, not just some made up script that applied or worked in the 60s. Does that make sense?
Right. No, 100%. So then let's say I'm interested in the analyzing, but also the sales. What would be the combo for two?
Oh, well, that's all included in the 5X coaching program. You get access to it for 90 days and we walk you through, right? So that's very hands-on, very coaching. The analytics platform for the sales analysis, it all depends if it's rep-based or company-based, and that's how that works. But there's over 100 different linguistic variables that we can analyze in your conversations and help you kind of improve everything. So there's a whole lot of opportunity there.
That's a lot of opportunity. It's definitely one of those. I wish I had that for a long time ago. Like, just, is it kind of like Otter or Grammarly? You just kind of upload it and it analyzes from there?
Yeah, it's 100% like that. And it's even easier than that, because we can literally connect to your email. We can automatically connect to your Zoom account. And then we try to automate how we're like extracting Zoom calls or video calls, or we integrate with the CRM. Like, we're doing a massive integration right now with close.io to be able to roll out and provide solutions fully integrated into the CRM, which is really impressive. There's a whole lot of cool stuff going on right now.
Then I'm just curious, because I'm working with, I have a different CRM. Could you integrate with Kartra? Let's say I pay up. Is that one I could integrate with them or not yet?
Yeah. So there's we integrate with Zapier and Integromat. It's the latest integrations we're literally pushing out within the next 2 weeks or so. So you're literally going to be able to integrate into every system. So it'll automatically pull the data, pull the emails, and then provide you back the insights that you need.
Cool. Yeah. Zapier works with Kartra. So definitely going to be one of those. I'm going to be looking into it. Anyone else, definitely recommend. I got three going out questions for you. So other than work, yep. what What have you been doing to keep yourself busy during these lockdown times?
I'm an avid cyclist. So my goal is to cycle at least 150 miles a week. That's what I love doing. And that's kind of where my passion, my thinking time. So yeah. Yeah. So I'm frustrated the weeks that I don't get to cycle 150 miles. So that's, yeah. And my great weeks are 200 plus miles. So yeah.
What is that, like almost like what, hour and a half, 2 hours of a run, or is it more 3 hours? Oh, sorry, a ride.
So
or are you just like speed lightning?
30 miles is, yeah, no, it's like, 20 miles is about an hour. So yeah, when you're doing a 30 mile ride, it's about an hour and a half each time. So yeah, that can be 15 to 20 hours on the bike a week or more.
Nice. So then, second question is, someone that's inspired to be like you, start their own SaaS, help people with sales. What are some tips, tricks, or advice you'd give them to start down that path?
The biggest thing you can do is become aware of yourself and what your own personality style is and the personality styles of the people you're talking to. And then learn the right questions to be asking from the get-go and make sure you're connected into questions that are emotionally driven. And so if you can do that, focus on the conversation and the quality of the conversation, your sales game will be transformed.
Perfect. And then where can everyone contact you at?
Easy. It's behaviorsales.com. And if they reach out to help@behaviorsales.com, they'll be able to get access to some cool bonuses if they mention this podcast.
Perfect. Yeah. So definitely take them up on that. All right, Ben, absolute honor and a pleasure to have you on.
Well, congratulations. You made it to the end. You're an awesome person. Not many make it here. So being the awesome person that you are, can you do me one more awesome favor? Can you rate and review this on whatever podcast services you're using? App, if you do it on Apple and you leave an actual written review, I have a thing on my website. I will take your written review and post it for all to see. Congratulations. You're permanently sealed on my site. Otherwise, I am trying to do YouTube more and live streaming. I will try to put as many of the YouTube links in the description of the show as I can. So give your boy some extra help over on YouTube. Watch my videos. I just mute it and change the channel, change the window or something. But yeah, that's it. Thank you for being awesome and see you next time.